Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and another company update, this time coming from Montage Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MAU and on the OTC markets under the symbol MAUTF. We are chatting with the CEO, Hugh Stewart, to bring everybody up to speed on Montage Gold. They are focused on the Koné Gold project in Côte d'Ivoire. Now, the company had some key catalysts this year in terms of a PEA released in May, as well as an updated resource released in August. That updated resource came in at right around 4.3 million ounces of gold, all in the inferred category, grading around 0.6 grams per ton. Now, Hugh, I want to get everybody focused on a near-term catalyst that I know the company has been working on. That is the feasibility study. This is the focus of the company. I understand it should be coming out pretty early on in the new year. What can you tell us about this feasibility study and the work that's gone into it, please?
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, it's good to be back. No, the feasibility study is tracking pretty well. We're looking at probably publishing in the second half of January. A couple of design changes, which has pushed us out from the original target of December. In general, it's tracking pretty well. You know, the PEA we did back in May was in many respects more of a PFS. You know, we've done a lot more detail on some of the sort of technical work as part of that study. And it was really just the inferred nature of the resource, which led us to call it a PEA, which has allowed us to push very hard and get into the feasibility study straight away. In general, it's tracking very close to the PEA. As you said, you know, we've now converted the inferred resource from January to an indicated resource. We've improved it. It's got slightly better. We've converted more than 100% of that inferred resource to indicated. That's feeding nicely into the reserve calculation as part of the feasibility study. The metwork's all done. That's tracking very closely to the numbers we put out in the PEA in terms of both sort of metallurgical recoveries, reagent consumptions, and specifically the rock hardness, which is one of the sort of key factors of this project. The pit designs are all done. We kind of know what the reserves are going to be. And as I said, tracking very close in terms of numbers. So really, you know, we're now in the final phases of the design. Lycopodium, which is an Australian consultancy that pretty much builds almost every mine in Africa these days, are running the study out of Australia, and they're just focusing on the design. So yeah, we should be good to go with those numbers in the second half of January.
Well, Hugh, just looking back at the year you've had, you've done a bang-up job of building that resource and moving it categories up to 4.3 million indicated ounces. There's not many companies in the gold space that have 4.3 million indicated ounces. So I think that's a big achievement in itself. But that was on the back of 60,000 meters of drilling. We had 7 drill rigs moving for the first half of the year. What did you glean from this year's exploration program? That was a massive program. And what were the main takeaways from 2021?
Yeah, it's been an extremely busy year. You know, we drilled out the inferred resource at the end of last year and then just went, you know, carried straight on drilling, actually added a couple more rigs going into January to get that done. I think the key thing for us was being able to convert, you know, 100% of the inferred resource. You know, this is, again, you know, going back to the basic geology of this deposit, it is a remarkably consistent piece of mineralization. And that coupled with some, I think we use a relatively conservative approach to our modeling, meant that we could do that. In addition, you know, we have a higher grade core to the deposit. As Corey said, you know, the overall resource grade is about 0.65. But there's a higher core, which is a key part of this. And that higher grade core, which grades somewhere between 0.9 and 1.1 grams, which really drives being able to mine faster and bring that into the earlier part of the mine life, drives some of the economics of this project. But that core actually got a little bit better. It increased in size as part of that indicated drill program. So those were key factors, I think. And I think there's not many projects out there where you can turn an inferred resource to an indicated resource and actually make it slightly better along the way.
What about the future goals then around drilling here, Hugh? I realize that the project already has a big resource. However, some people might say, well, it's a bit lower grade. So can the company find and build out this higher grade core or even other slightly higher grade deposits? How is the exploration going to be focused?
The exploration is going to be pretty much focused on the search for satellite feed for this deposit at a higher grade. Koné itself does have some potential to extend, but this has always been a two-part plan. You know, if you go back to what we were saying when we IPO'd in October last year, you know, the aim here was to show that Koenig on its own is pretty good. And I think we've done that. I think the feasibility study will underline that. But the thing that's really going to transform this, I think, and really the focus for the next year is to get out away from Koenig, looking for higher grade satellite feed. Given the low cost basis of Koenig itself, any feed at a higher grade actually has disproportionate value to its size. So when, you know, we don't have to find 1 million ounces anymore, you know, small pods of 50, 100, 200,000 ounces at a couple of grams actually has a significant impact because we can bring it in early in the mine life, improve the economics. And as I said, because of that low cost basis, it drives significant cash flow. So something, say 50, 60,000 ounces actually generates $50 or $60 million in cash flow for the project. So whilst on their own, they're almost meaningless. When you look at those, that style of mineralization, small pods of higher grade, which are a lot easier to find in the context of Koenig, they're a lot more meaningful. And really that's going to be the focus. And I think that's the thing that's going to has the potential to transform Koenig from what we see as a pretty solid operation to something that's sort of pretty much that's going up to the next level. Perhaps instead of touching 250,000 ounces for the first 9 years of the mine life, which we're looking at the moment, probably getting up to, you know, has the potential to get up to 300,000 ounces over the first 9 or 10 years of the mine life. And really, you know, that's what we're after at the moment.
Well, Hugh, the company announced that it's literally doubled its land position at the Koenig Gold Project. Was some of that thinking that you could actually go out and find some of these satellite pits? And if so, what is the drill program going to be for attacking some of these satellite pits as you move into 2022?
Yeah, we've got we had a new application granted in the last few months, which is great. Another 300 plus square kilometers. We have another two applications, which are all within easy trucking distance of Koenig that we're pushing very hard. And we're optimistic that we're going to get those granted, which will probably take our ground holding from the current 600 up to about 1400 square kilometers. Most of those areas have really not been explored in the past. And as far as I can see, there's been no historic exploration, which opens them up. We know they're on pretty solid gold trends, extending northwards from Koenig. So really the focus is get in quick, do some, you know, very quick soil sampling, work that up and be aggressive about sort of reconnaissance drilling, and really chase targets very quickly. The good thing about, you know, something that's only 200,000 ounces or something like that is that you can drill it off pretty quickly. So we will be aggressive. We have that money in the budget. And as we go into 2022, that really will be the focus. You know, you'll have seen we put a few results out for the Petit Yao target, which is about 8 kilometers away from Koenig. It's shallow dipping. There's a bit of grade in it. It's pretty much all oxide at the moment. We're working that up, and we probably only need to drill another couple of thousand meters on that to bring it into reserve. So it might not make the feasibility study, but that type of thing is easy to move forward, and we will be aggressive about following up on any targets that we can generate from this new package.
Well, Hugh, I think the company's got things moving on all cylinders here. You obviously have a huge resource. You've got a ton of drilling that you have done. You've got more potential for discovery. You've got a growing land position with potentially great targets. But I'm just going to say this in a simple way. I don't think the market cap right now is truly valuing you for the size of the deposit you have. And I think that the two big hurdles for investors to get past, and maybe you can address these, are it doesn't have that flashy high grade that like a Canadian miner may have, because people are looking at it as a low grade bulk tonnage project, but they're not seeing the economics that are that robust. And the other thing would be, as part of the PEA and as you move to a feasibility study, the large CapEx build when you are a smaller market cap company. So what options would you have for getting this project into production? If you could address those two, I think that those are some of the things that maybe the market is unsure of at this point.
No, I think exactly that. I think they're the two things that people see. I think in terms of the grade, you know, people do say the grade is king, but in my view, there's a lot of other sort of suitors sort of vying for the crown. You don't just need grade to make a mine work. And one of the things that we like about Koenig, the reason we actually IPO'd and sort of got more aggressive with it, is that it does have a number of geological factors and other sort of geometric factors which actually make it work and drive those economics. So things like very wide true width. So it's 200 meters in true width. It dips 45 degrees to the west, which means we get a low strip ratio. Our strip ratio is about 0.9. It's certainly not going to go up in the feasibility study. It might go down a shade. So very low strip ratio, very simple ore body. It's hard to mess this up, which means you can use large equipment for the mining, get economies of scale, and obviously lower that cost base. Second thing is the actual nature of the mineralization itself. The gold is not, a lot of gold deposits are associated with silica alteration, which makes the rock harder. So when you come to grind the rock down to take the gold out, it requires more energy and obviously it requires more cost. Kone doesn't have a lot of silica involved. It's actually a different type of alteration, which means it has one of the lower hardnesses in terms of grinding the rock, which directly translates into lower energy use, which is lower cost. And obviously simple metallurgy. It's a very simple plant. It's a large plant because we need to go to the scale of about 11 million tons per annum to be able to get those economies of scale, which drives that capex. But the combination of all those factors means that we actually deliver some pretty significant economics that you saw in the PEA with an NPV north of 600 million and an IRR north of 30%. So all of combination of those factors are all making this work. In terms of the capex, clearly, a small company at the moment and a large number. But again, I think there's a couple of other factors, perhaps three factors that weigh on this. The first is the scale of the project. This is a project that's going to produce in excess of 200,000 ounces over a 15-year mine life, probably closer to 250,000 ounces over the first 10 years. So clearly, scale is important. It's a project that can handle debt. It can handle streaming. Streaming and royalty companies like those long-life, large assets. We have a payback of under 3 years. So again, solid economics. And that scale of the project will allow this project to take perhaps a little bit more debt, a little bit more streaming, and it will be a combination of a number of things that are going to allow us to be able to finance the build. The second thing is our shareholders. We were very conscious when we created Montage a couple of years ago that we didn't want to just create another cash-strapped junior company that was going to obviously struggle. Obviously, we come from a background with Orca and Redback, backed by Lucas Lundin on that side. We have Ross Beaty as a shareholder, but also bringing in the Sandstorm Group and people connected with Sandstorm. So I think our shareholder base also means that we have perhaps a little bit more leverage, a little bit more sort of ability to fund things, which again, I think will factor in this. And the third thing, again, goes back to the scale, whether it's us, whether it's in some form of joint venture, whether we sell a stake in the project. With that scale of production over a 15-year mine life, it is of interest to intermediates and larger companies. And there is a dearth of projects in Africa, especially, but around the world of this type of scale. So I think a combination of those three factors will allow us to have a far better chance at funding this project than most people will give us credit for at the moment. And obviously, once the feasibility study is complete in January and announced, that will be the focus that we're working on going into the first quarter next year as we start to sort of push down the permitting route for the project.
Hugh, before we get you out of here, can you just give us a quick update on the current cash balance of the company moving into next year, please?
The current cash balance is about $11 or $12 million. We'll complete everything and probably have about $8 million in the bank. So we're well cashed up. We don't see any need to come back to the market, certainly at these share price levels. So that will last us quite a long time into next year. As I said before, the exploration that we've got planned is all factored into that budget. So no need to come back to the market and pretty strong balance sheet at the moment.
All right, Hugh, thank you for this update. Anybody, if you have a question regarding anything going on at Montage and even moving into next year, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed for you. Hugh, really appreciate the update. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and please keep us up to date on future news.
No problems, guys. Pleasure.